Hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. It is so good to have all of you with us. Now, we are coming down, as I said, to the very end of our series on the Gospels, and I have three messages left, and one of them comes from the very end of John's Gospel. Another one will come from the very end of John's Gospel as well, and one will come from the very end of Mark's Gospel and really all of the Gospels. But anyway, in John chapter 20, the very end of the chapter, I want to read to you New King James Version of the Bible. And what do we study at Lon Solomon Ministries? Tell me. The Bible. Come on now. The whole Bible. Come on now. Nothing but the Bible. And then we apply to our life. Yes. Okay. So here in the very end of John chapter 20, after the resurrection, is talked about in Doubting Thomas. Look at verse 30. Verse 30. And truly, John writes, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things that John wrote are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. That's how we get eternal life, is in his name. Okay, now let's go to the end of chapter 21 of John's Gospel. And verse 25 says, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which, if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. What is John saying here? Well, he's telling us that the Gospels are selective history. They're selective in terms of what they choose to include from Jesus's miracles, his lessons, his teaching, his actions, and what they chose not to include. Jesus had a 3-year public ministry, and only 31 days of it are included in the Bible. In all four Gospels, of course, some things in the four Gospels are, you know, the same event, but then taking all the events and all the days that are described there, it's roughly a month. So there's 35 other months worth of healings, miracles, speeches, teachings, events that Jesus did that are not included. Now, you might think, well, Jesus just took those days off. No, he didn't. Honestly, that's what John's telling us. John's telling us that he was busy all 36 months. There's so much that he did that if we tried to put it all in books, John says, I suppose not even the whole world has got room to hold them. Maybe a little bit of the hyperbole there, but he was trying to make a point that Jesus did a plethora of things, did a plethora of miracles and healings and teaching. This is only a tiny sampling that are included here in the Gospels. Now, I want to show you that, but first I want to say this is true of the whole Bible. The whole Bible is selective in what it includes. I mean, the Bible's not a history book, so the Bible doesn't try to give us the whole history of the ancient Near East for the 2,000 years from Abraham to Jesus. The comments we get that are historical about Nebuchadnezzar, about Pharaoh, about the Assyrians or whoever. These are mentioned, but because they impacted Israel. The selectivity of the Old Testament is Israel. The Jewish people are the focus of the Bible. Let me say that again to you. The Jewish people, the descendants of Abraham through Isaac and then through Jacob, these are the focus of the Bible. And anything historical that's mentioned in the Bible is mentioned because those historical events interfaced, affected the Jewish people. The book is a book about salvation, and salvation comes from the Jewish people, and it comes from the Jewish people through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Are you with me? So the Bible's not interested in giving you every event that happened between Abraham and the New Testament. Only those things that are pertinent because of their impact on the Jewish people are mentioned in the Bible. Are you with me? And the Gospels are selective also. 1 month out of 36. Everything in the Gospels is obviously therefore extremely important because the Holy Spirit chose out of 3 years worth of events to include the event that you're reading about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Now, the impact that Jesus had, break. Okay, you got that. The impact that Jesus had throughout the entire Middle East was enormous. A lot of times we don't understand that because we get a verse here and a verse there telling about how far-reaching the impact of Jesus' ministry was during those 3 years. But it's when we go and get all those verses and put them together that we understand what John is saying, that Jesus overwhelmed the entire Middle East with all of his ministry of healing, teaching, miracles, etc. Okay, let me show you that. We're going to start in Mark's gospel. So I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. Mark chapter 1, verse 45. But he, the leper that Jesus cleansed here, went out and began to proclaim it, what Jesus had done for him, freely, and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every quarter. Okay, now let's move on to Mark chapter 5, verse 20. And he, this is Legion, the man full of demons, he, once Jesus cleansed him, departed and began to proclaim in the Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and all marvel. Okay, let's move on. Mark chapter 3, look at verse 7. But Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, that is of Galilee. And a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and those from Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude when they heard what great things he did. And they all came to him. Verse 10, and he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, "You are the Son of God." Now, do you see here? Let me go back to verse 8 and verse 7. The reputation of Jesus had spread so much that people can flock from everywhere to come and bring sick people to him to be healed. Look in Mark chapter 6, look at verse 53. "And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored near the shore." This is on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. "And when they had come out of the boat, immediately the people recognized Jesus. And they ran through that whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard Jesus was. And whenever he entered into villages, cities, or the countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well." Wow. Can you look at did you hear this? I mean, people ran everywhere, getting everybody who was sick. And wherever Jesus was, as he moved through cities and towns and the countryside, they found him, and they flooded that countryside wherever he was, or that city, with sick people for him to heal. Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 7, verse 24. It says, "And from there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, up in modern-day Lebanon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden." Everywhere he went, this is way up in Lebanon, fully Gentile territory, and people knew all about him. Verse 31, "And then departing from Tyre and Sidon, he went through the midst of the region of the Decapolis down to the Sea of Galilee." That's massive territory Jesus is covering here. And they couldn't keep it secret. Everybody knew when he arrived. How about Luke chapter 5? On Luke chapter 5, verse 15, "But the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed," because he was just overwhelmed with people. How about chapter 6 of Luke's gospel, verse 17? "And he came down from the mountain with them and stood on a level plain with a crowd of his disciples and great multitudes of people from all Judea and Jerusalem." Look at this. "And from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of his diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits. They were all there, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all." Massive group of people. How about Matthew chapter 4, verse 23? "And Jesus went about all Galilee," up around the Sea of Galilee in the north of Israel, "teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people." Look, "and his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great multitudes followed him from Galilee, and from the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond the Jordan River," which is, of course, Idumea and that whole area of the Decapolis. How about Matthew 8, verse 16? "And when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken in Isaiah, the prophet, saying he himself took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses, Isaiah 53. Oh my, I could keep going, but that's a triumphal entry. He was mobbed with people who knew about him. And finally, in Acts chapter 22, listen to what Peter says when he's preaching there in the temple. He says, Acts chapter 2, verse 22, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst. Look, as you yourselves also know. It was no secret. Jesus said, all of you guys knew what Jesus was doing. Whew. Okay. So what's the point? Wow. The point is, when you put all of these scriptures together, there's one in Mark here, and one in Matthew there, and one in Luke here, and one in Acts here, and another one later in Mark. Okay, but when you take them all and lump them together, as we just did, we begin to get a sense of the magnitude of Jesus' ministry of healing and teaching and miracles and casting out demons and taking care of people with illness. We begin to get a sense of how large that ministry was. And that whole area, what we think of today, what's the Bible said of Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, down the southern part of Jordan in Saudi Arabia, and Israel, the south, the north, everywhere, that whole area is all included in what the Bible says is the ministry of Jesus. Now, that's the end of our passage, but it leads us to ask our most important question. So, are you ready? Here we go. Come on now. One, two, three. So what? Oh, yeah. This is an amazing thing we've just seen. Can you imagine the spread and how much Jesus must have done when you count those other 35 months in, during which he was constantly moving and teaching and healing and preaching and whatever, doing miracles. Now, what difference does all this make for you and me? Oh, it makes a lot of difference, friends. I remember John MacArthur, great Bible teacher and scholar who's with the Lord now. When it came to this issue of the amount of healing that Jesus had done in Israel over a 3-year period, he once made the comment that he thought it was very possible that by the end of the 3-year ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the whole area there, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, parts of Saudi Arabia, all of Israel, that there was probably very few, if any, sick people left in that region after 3 years of Jesus' ministry. Very few sick people. Jesus had healed them all. Everywhere he went, they went and got sick people and brought them to Jesus from as far away as the word spread. And they came and Jesus healed them all. Healed them all. I think John's right. I think it's very possible that there were hardly any sick people left. Amazing. Huh? Amazing. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, he came to his own, and his own believed him not. John chapter 1. After all of these miracles, and all of this miraculous healing, and all his reputation, there was probably not a single person living in Israel or anywhere in that area during this time who had not either seen a miracle of Jesus with their own eyes or been told of one by someone whose word they trusted. Probably not anybody. Boy, that just goes to show you the blindness of the human spirit. Yet when it came to how many people actually believed in him and followed him, very few. Hard to believe, honestly. Hard to believe. Well, I hope you're one of those people who are following him for sure. Don't be like one of these folks who saw him but didn't believe in him. And that brings me to the verse I want to close with today. It's John chapter 6, verse 40. Look what the Bible says. John chapter 6, verse 40. And this is the will of him who sent me. People are always talking about what's God's will, what's God's will. Friends, here, you want to know what God's will is? Well, this verse will tell you what part of it is. Here is the will of him who sent me, Jesus said, God the Father. Let's go back. Here we go. Here is the will of him who sent me. Here's God's will, that everyone who sees the Son, that is, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, may have everlasting life, and I will raise that person up at the last day. Is that what the Bible says? I skipped a little part. Let's read it again. That everyone, criminals, yes. Incarcerated people, yes. Men, yes. Women, yes. Children, yes. Skinny people, yes. Fat people, yes. Jewish people, yes. Gentile people, yes. Muslim people, yes. Buddhist people, yes. Americans, yes. South Vietnamese, North Vietnamese, yes. Whoever, everyone who sees the Son of God, whether we see him personally or whether we see him in the book. Remember, blessed are those who don't see me with their eyes. They see me in the book and they believe. Okay, now wait a minute. Everyone who sees the Son and believes in him, aha, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. What a promise. Oh my gosh. Key is who believes in him, who trusts what he did on the cross for us to pay for our sins. Believe, pistuo, I've told you before in Greek, means to rely upon, to put your weight on something or someone. When you sit down on a chair, you have believed biblically in that chair. Why? Because you trusted that chair, that it would hold your weight, and then you put your actual weight on it. I mean, if that chair had fallen down, you could have hurt yourself. So when you sat down, you believed in that chair because you believed it was going to hold you up. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not just a head thing. No, you honestly believe that his death on the cross is going to pay for your sins and get you into heaven, and then you put your weight on it. You give away everything else. You reject everything else you've ever trusted to pay for your sins and get you into heaven, and you put your complete 100% weight on what he did for you on the cross. That's biblical believing. And Jesus said, everyone who does that, this is God's will, they will have everlasting life, and I will raise them up from the dead and give them glorified bodies and take them to live in heaven with me forever, Jesus said. Now, we'll be living with him out of our bodies until he raises them. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. but he will raise our bodies up when he comes back, reunite us with our bodies, and we'll have them forever in heaven. Okay. Wow. I hope that's you. If not, I'm going to give you a chance right now. Here we go. You pray after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today because I want to believe on you in the way the Bible says, that I might have everlasting life and that I might have heaven when I leave here. And so right now, I reject everything else I've ever trusted to pay for my sins and get me to heaven. And I pistuo, I believe on you. I put my weight fully, 100% on what you did on the cross for me, paying for my sins with your blood. That's where my entire trust is. Not 90%, but 100%. That plus nothing. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right. I hope you prayed that prayer. If you did, make sure you listen to Spiritual Boot Camp on my online, on my website, to get you off to a good start in your Christian life. Hey, God bless you. And may the Lord inspire you to keep going, because Jesus has given you eternal life, everlasting life. He's going to raise you up at the last day. God bless you. See you next week on Live with Lon.